May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was in seminary as part of my training for the priesthood, I spent some time working as a hospital chaplain. And really the best thing I can say about it is that it filled me with enormous respect for people who work in hospitals. Because I was at a very good hospital, and it was still a strange and scary place. I never got used to sleeping in the on-call room, which I am sure was haunted, or to that antiseptic hospital smell. And I hated cold calling patients, which made me feel like a door-to-door Bible salesman. What I did get used to was saying, "Hello, I'm a chaplain," and watching people go pale and say, "Why are you here? Am I gonna die?" Because in my experience, nobody needs a chaplain if they're just there overnight to set a broken leg. If a patient or a family member did think to call the hospital chaplain, it was usually because something very, very bad was happening, and they didn't want to face it alone. I had been in seminary for 1 year, and I was so young, and I felt so ill-equipped and unprepared, and so unworthy of the call. And we all have times in our lives when we become so acutely aware of our dependence on God's power and God's grace. And this was one of mine. And at the end of every day at that hospital, I would pray and thank God, "I know you're with me because there's no way I could do this without you. But please, I need to feel your presence. I need you to give me a sign." And after weeks of this, I got a page on my antique hospital pager, they still use those, for a patient who wanted to see a chaplain. And her record said she was Catholic, so I stopped by the chaplain's office and made a visit to the rosary bucket, which was about this big, and it was a plastic bucket full of plastic rosaries. And I was feeling fancy that day, so I chose one that glowed in the dark. And I always offered these to Catholic patients, not because I thought anybody was going to use one for prayer, but because it seemed to perk people up to get a little present at the end of a chaplain visit. So I put one in my pocket, and I went to see the patient who was getting ready for surgery and feeling a little scared and very far from her family and far from home. So we talked for a while and we said a prayer. And when it was time for me to go, I pulled out this dime store rosary and made a joke about how God hears our prayers even if we say them on plastic beads. And she took it from my hand and she burst into tears. And when she got her breath, she told me, "I say the rosary every single day, but when I came here, they told me not to bring any valuables. So I left mine at home. And without it, I found it so hard to pray, but I knew God would come through for me. I knew God would never, ever leave me alone." And I looked at this woman whose faith was so much greater than mine, who was holding this plastic rosary in both hands and crying so hard that her bed frame was shaking and bumping against the wall. And I thought, this is not the kind of sign I wanted. Send me a different sign. And when the woman stopped crying, I promised her that I would send a priest to bless her rosary. And then on cue, she went right off to sleep. And that night I thought about my sign from God, which I had hoped would come as a miracle healing or a beam of light, something that felt warm and safe. Instead, God chose to become known to me in a way that was frankly quite scary. through another person's vulnerable moment, the one thing that after so many weeks in that hospital, I felt so tapped out and unworthy to receive. I was all set to receive the sign I wanted. And instead, God sent the sign I needed. And surely this is how Moses feels when he sees the burning bush. He is so unprepared and unworthy. In the scene before this in Exodus, he has just murdered a guy and dumped his body. And he's fled the country because he's afraid he'll get caught. So he's in exile from his own people, who are themselves enslaved. And if Moses is hoping for a sign from God, surely what he wants is a sign of forgiveness and comfort. And if his people, the Israelites, are hoping for a sign, what they surely want is sudden liberation, for God to do a magic trick and lift them out of oppression and suffering and pain. But instead, God appears to Moses as something totally unfamiliar, not at all comforting, but terrifying and strange, so much that Moses hides his face in fear. And God doesn't do the magic trick that the Hebrews are hoping for. What they want, just like what we all want, is a promise that they won't suffer. And all they get is a promise that in that suffering, as they struggle and wait and try to get through the wilderness to a better life, God won't desert them. And we see the same thing happen with Jesus and his disciples when Jesus tries to explain to them the sign from God they should prepare themselves for, that he will undergo terrible suffering and be killed and then be raised. And Peter, the apostle who always says what everyone is thinking, says, "That's a terrible sign. You're the Son of God. Tell God to send a different sign." But Jesus says, "You're thinking about this in human terms, and you need to think about it in God's terms. Not because God wants us to suffer needlessly, but because God is preparing to change you, Peter, into a new person. And change sometimes comes with pain." Jesus tells Peter, "You're trying to make God small enough to fit inside your plans. You're demanding that God give you the sign that you want. And instead, no matter how much you fight it and how unready you feel, God will only give you the sign that you need. Sometimes uncomfortable, sometimes scary, sometimes not at all the answer you wanted to your prayer. But always a promise not to desert you, that whatever you suffer, whatever the people around you may suffer, God will never leave you alone." And as for that woman in the hospital, her surgery went very, very well. And I saw her again to say goodbye before she was discharged. A family member was there waiting to take her home. And I don't know whether she still has that glow-in-the-dark plastic rosary. But I will always remember it as my unexpected sign. Amen.